know so good, and we want to try to transform this press conference in a situation of let's blame the guy. I'm sorry, you have to tell me what is the most important thing, because I don't know. Because when I win matches, I come here many times, and you are not happy that I won matches, and you say that the most important thing is the way of playing. No, you have to make a decision in relation to that, because I need to know from you what is the most important thing, if it is to play well, or if it is to win matches. If it is to play offensively, or is to play for a certain result. Today we were aggressive, we pressed high, Tottenham couldn't make two passes coming from the back. They made lots of mistakes because of our pressure high. We project the fullbacks. We had Valencia and Luke Shaw arriving in dangerous positions. We missed goals with an open goal. We missed chances. We were unlucky in rebounds in both goals. We lost the game because we conceded a goal in the first corner of the match against us on the minute 50-something. In the first half, zero corners, zero lateral free kicks, zero front of free kicks. On the minute 50-something, they had one corner, they scored a goal. And you want, with that goal, you want to transform the story of the game. But don't lose your time, because today I had the proof that the best judge in football are the supporters. They are the best judge. Yeah? I'll do the same. Losing 3-0. Taking 2 hours from here to the center of Manchester, because it's where I live and I know that after matches it takes 2 hours, I'll do the same. So keep trying. Keep trying. We lost last season here against Sevilla, and we were good. Because we deserved. Because we were not good. Because we were not dangerous enough. Because Sevilla deserved to win the match. We were good. And deservedly. And today the players, they left the pitch after losing at home, and they were applauded because they deserved it. So you keep trying and trying and trying and keep trying and keep trying.
Okay.
Now, just to finish, do you know that what was the result? 3-0. 3-0. Do you know what this means? 3-0. But also means 3 premierships, and I won more premierships alone than the other 19 managers together. 3 for me and 2 for them. Respect, man.
So it's Red News Podcast 24, and the sound hopefully is a little bit better, because even I admit we're usually shit. But last week with someone else, all you could hear, because I had it done, technology baffling me, I sounded like the Elephant Man with my cold. My name? That's not my name, is John Merrick. I'm trying to... My name is John Merrick. That's what I sounded like. And you sounded like you were about a million miles away.
I know, yeah.
So I didn't want to leave on that note, Nick. And also, I had a good mate, Paul, say, God, you depressed me. So I wanted to be a bit more upbeat this week. Because if we're going to leave it for a few weeks, let's have a bit of optimism. So, I am going to play a moment from Jose. Right, so, Nick, listening to that whole clip of Jose, that was after the Spurs game, you can sort of see the context once you don't just concentrate on the respect, can't you, that he was saying, listen to the fans. So I think if you actually listen to all the quotes rather than just selective ones, what he was saying was right. He doesn't get enough respect. And he was saying in context of when he has deserved to be booed. So I've got no problem with that, have I? Have you?
No, not really. I mean, the team tried, didn't he? He was obviously trying to adapt something from the last game, obviously, from the Brighton game. So, you know, fair enough, he wants to play better football. We were better again against Burnley in the first half, looking lively. It's massively important to us that we have Sanchez fit. It makes a big difference in terms of how we play. So, if he's fit and he can find that chemistry with the on that side, then, you know, we can still be dangerous going forward.
Well, I thought you can't question anyone's attitude or commitment at Burnley, whether that's they're playing for each other or they're just going, someone said, come on, you know, we're three games in, let's sort it out. But, you know, I thought Lukaku was excellent. If we can show that sort of steel as well, when we went 10 men down, they didn't. Burnley, I never thought they're going to come back into this, which is unusual for us at the moment. So, you know, I was pleasantly surprised, because we know that enough times United, they're about to get the knives dug in, and we managed to just effortlessly put this 2 weeks to bed up until the point that Pogba granted an interview. Granted, I've not seen the actual, you know, audio of it, but it doesn't look good what Pogba's come out with today, does it?
It's ridiculous. Like, coming out and saying that your heart wasn't in it in the Brighton game, but then saying that he's giving him 100% was just baffling. It's more and more garbage that's coming out of his mouth, where I think everyone that we were speaking to was adamant it was Jose, and we're going to build a team around Pogba and make him captain, and it's like, well, this is what he's going to come out with, this is how he's going to be. I don't want him part of the club at all. He's absolutely, it really annoyed me. I didn't want him to come back in the first place. I think I was more against him coming back than Mourinho being in charge. I would have rather had Jose at the time to done some sort of meeting sorted. I know people disagree with that, fair enough, everyone's got their own opinion, but he's some sort of virus in the camp at the moment where he's just got to drop him. You know, I don't care how well he plays sometimes, it's just, you can't go around spouting off that kind of thing and putting it out there and, you know, fine, whatever, you know, Fellaini did a good job against Burnley, I'll say he's the answer, obviously, but he's got to be dropped or something, because he can't keep getting away with these comments over and over and over again.
Well, the thing is, you say good games, I mean, the problem is, that's it. You could probably pick out four in 2 years where he's excelled. So it's not like he's undroppable because he's so brilliant. We're just not seeing the Pogba. And granted, we're not playing him right, but he's giving us nothing to say build that side around Pogba, which I was saying for a while. We're not seeing anything Juventus, and we're seeing the classic Madrid and Barcelona tactics of trying to destabilise a club like they do with so many players before, even the Mickeys with Coutinho and Suarez. They play a long game to buy a player, and we're seeing it in daily quotes. In the last week we've had Piquet, the vice president, and you think, but you're doing it to United, and he's allowing it with his agent to heap more pressure on an already horrible start to the season. What are you doing?
It makes it worse, though, doesn't it? It makes it, because it goes back to what we said last week, though, about, you know, everyone's doing their own thing, aren't they, at the moment, and you meant you hit the nail on the head with player power. It's sad that the game's going that way, in a way. You know, you think that Jose, of all people, would be able to control those egos. He's been at Madrid, and, you know, he's been there at the very, very top of club football. You just think that he should be handling it a little bit better, and considering he's the person that brought him in, it's not like he's inherited it. You know, he brought him in there thinking, you know, be able to get on with him or whatever, and if it's a bad fight like that, it's baffling. It reminds me of a situation like with Rooney a few years ago, where he felt that he had a clause in his contract to play every single game. He was just
Nonsense. I don't think any player has that, or any manager would allow it. But it's almost like a vanity signing. You know, we can get him. We can sort of say, yeah, we're really, you know, we've been in the Europa League, or we're going to enter the Europa League. We can sign anyone. We've signed Pogba, and it didn't. This is where, you know, oh, we've got to keep Pogba because he does this and that. You're better off having a bloody Fletcher in, you know, if it adds to the team, if you play more better football with the players around you. He's got a long way to go now, and I wonder how that'll pan out after the international break, because if he starts having a few dodgy games, he's really, what you'd like to see is him come out, deny it all, but I don't know.
I don't like how you put Darren Fletcher down there. He's definitely the greatest player that's ever played for them.
No, I know you love him, but it's not a dig. It's just saying you pick 11 players that work together. It doesn't matter. Forget the names. And as someone was putting on Twitter, you know, we've seen bigger, better players depart. This side always goes on. Don't ever worry about that, even with the Glazers and Woodward. They go. Those chances come and go. And players we see are much better than that. You need to get your head down. It's a shame, because I said that I was on that train a couple of years ago, and he was brilliant. You know, he was dressed in this bizarre Obi-Wan Kenobi outfit, but he gave every kid on that train time signing autographs, and I thought, I was really impressed. He didn't have to, you know, you could tell he was bugged, but for an hour and a half, every United kid who came up to him, he was giving time, and I thought, he gets it, he does. And then you think somewhere along the way, his ego or agents just, you know, telling him he's great and good every single day, and you deserve better, you deserve better. Well, hang on, you know, don't always wait for your wish for it. Barcelona can eat you up. But anyway, right, so we're trying to think good, happy thoughts. So we've won. Can we keep it going? We said five games. Well, that's one down.
Yeah, that's true. We both said we beat Burnley, though, didn't we, to be fair?
I'm not sure.
People go, it's only Burnley, but, you know, they're a bad side in a horrible place. You know, big teams are going to go there this season. They're going to drop points there, and we didn't. It was a good test of the mentality concern, how much we've been up against it with the press. And I just thought to go out there and play the way we did, and we should have put more. You know, Jose was right. You know, it could have been seven or eight.
I thought Lukaku was set to get the hat-trick. I thought he'd get it. But I'm impressed with him, you know. I know he gets criticism, but every season he looks hungrier. He looks a better player. And he's, as I keep saying, he's the least of our worries. You know, Sanchez, if he can turn up to the party. We just need to get that midfield and defence right. But Shaw's been fantastic, and I thought his interview with England was really good, you know. You can see his immaturity in the way he speaks to the media as well. It's less like a 17-year-old student with his arse hanging out, with his underpants falling down his fucking legs. He's talking like a man, which is good.
He's Christmas boxers.
Yeah.
Lukaku.
We're good about that.
Just hanging out. I'm pleased for sure. You know, we've seen him been tossed around a bit with these managers that he's had, hasn't he? And he has probably been the highlight of the season. On obviously it's very, very early, but he's been probably the main highlight of the season so far. And you know, we lacked a bit of an attacking threat at full back. We still do, I think, on the right hand side. I do like Valencia, but you know, he doesn't give us what sometimes I think he plays to his strength. So if Shaw can start getting forward, you know, we saw everyone getting frustrated with Ashley Young, weren't we? You know, a few of the sellers were saying obviously he's not getting past the halfway line, he's not doing what he's good at, getting a ball in the box. You feel like Shaw's getting back to that now, and you know, I hope he does well with England, and that's not like me, you know that, but I hope he does well and he just can keep it going. You feel like he's a form player, don't you? The more he plays, you know, he's gonna get better and better, yeah. And get that fitness up and get that sharpness up. What we've seen, really, hopefully keep that going.
And then, so what do we sit well? We can go around the houses. What we settle with a defence in midfield. So I don't know. I don't know what the, you know, you can't fault Fellaini's not a United player for me, but every time he's come in recently, he does a job. I mean, it's an antithesis to what United are, but where we are right now, he's trying. He puts in his shift, you know?
Because you realise no other club wants him, that's why.
Well, no, I know. And yeah, that was symbiotic of, you know, there was a United staffer who said, he was really angry that he, you know, he took us to the cleaners, was putting his name out for 6 months, negotiating with all these clubs, and then obviously realised United's offer was still the best. So, yeah, I'll stay with you lot. But it is where we are right now, you know. We've got to cling to small positives and think that at least if you are picking players that are playing for the manager, whether you like him or not, you know, I go back to the point, if you want the manager out, that means United are going to lose games, and you can't want that. We've got to get our arses together and our act together. So, right, so let's talk some nice things then. So, Nick, you're younger than me. You're part of the generation who only knows success. The United were asking on their Twitter account for best atmospheres. I can remember Barcelona, that monumental night where it was just bedlam, bedlam. So what's your best Old Trafford atmosphere?
I have no idea. It's tough. There's been so many bad ones.
cheery, Nick. Cheery. This is nothing but cheery. That people are, the few two that are listening, are going to go, yes, they were happy for once.
Yeah, it's a shame because probably one of the best atmospheres I remember. We ended up drawing, but I remember being, I wasn't young, I was in my teens. We had Bayer Leverkusen at home in 2002, Champions League. We drew 2-2, and we'd drawn away. We had out on away goals, didn't we? I think it was. But that night was special. It's kind of like we got a real belief of going to a Champions League final. I was thinking, you know, God, this could be, you know, two in space of a couple of years. I just remember it being electric, just walking into the ground, there was a buzz that night, and being that, I mean, so the players coming out and everything, it was incredible. And Leverkusen, obviously, you know, were the biggest side in Germany, but we felt like we could really beat them, you know, similar to when we had AC Milan a few years later in the semi-finals as well. That was probably up there. It's just that excitement, isn't it? Stage, thinking, you know, we're at home, we've been away for the first leg, we've got that out of the way, and then it's a shame we didn't do the business. We played pretty well, we were pretty rubbish at times, but the atmosphere that night, I just thought, was incredible, really.
European homes for a spell were fantastic. It became a cliche, you know, but the nights, I'm never one for the music, you know. It doesn't bother me what fucking anthem was playing before a game, but there was a, you know, you could tell, and that's why I'm not displeased. We've got Valencia and Juventus. That should be at least get us a bit roused again, you know. Just think, fuck it. They may absolutely smash us, but at least we haven't got, like, our house at home. We've got Juventus, you know, bring it on. I always think just play the best. So they should hopefully get us going a little bit.
You never know. They might bring the best out of a few players in there. You know, players like Sanchez get up for it a little bit more. And Pogba's up against his old club. He's got a point to prove. Or, especially when he gets into the Champions League, he can kind of meander about in the Premier League and go, you know, notice a few times when he gets to the Champions League. I mean, if he does want these big news, these big clubs, that's where he's got to deliver. You know, Real Madrid and Barcelona, we know are more focused on that, aren't they?
I know, but then we're pandering to an ego, and it just... So much that's wrong with that modern game, including, you know, Valencia shafting us on ticket prices. You think, and don't even get me started on Sky changing the Everton home game on the Sunday. I know someone who's bringing over their lad from Europe, you know, Jesus Christ. And there's not even an apology from anyone. But, and away, well, you haven't done that many away games, have you? But.
Sugar.
I know.
Ballot tickets.
Yeah, we'll just put. No, you can't even say that this day and age because someone will be bloody checking. Oh, no, you asked for a away ticket. How dare you? But I think.
What's going to stop you from going to all the home games now?
Yeah. So, come on, give me some more happy thoughts.
Happy thoughts. The problem is, though, a lot of these atmospheres we've had, though, that we've experienced, we've probably gone on and lost a lot of them. But the thing is, when you're at Old Trafford, that's what gets the crowd going, doesn't it, though? Not something where you're winning 4-0 at home against Crystal Palace, the atmosphere is going to be great. It's those games where you do go behind and it gets the crowd going. I think about Real Madrid a few years ago with that nanny sending off, and you know that was probably the best atmosphere I've experienced Old Trafford. Everyone seemed up for it, you know, of all ages, of, you know, kids who were like 5 years old. To, I had a guy who was two seats down from me, he looked like he was pushing 90, and he sat there trying to get out of his seat screaming at the ref. And
was it made?
You're not quite that old, yeah. You get Fergie coming out of his seat, trying to G up the south stand, trying to get him going.
But that was lovely. You know, I mean, that moment with Fergie, that really... I mean, he knew he was off, obviously, so that was...
We all figured that out.
But then, if you actually look at it, I'm going to put a fucking... But as a football moment, there was a manager in the other dugout who was going, seize the moment, put Modric on, change the course of the game. So he used it to his own benefit while we were just trying to, you know, get behind them, and he actually shrewdly went, no, I can change this, and won. And that's the Jose we don't see enough of, who goes where he was a tactical, you know, whether he still got that, I still think he has somewhere. But it was interesting before Burnley started saying, well, you know, I plan to be a bit more attacking, and he was sort of saying, but I cannot see that how he can change his whole manner. And almost that's what I say, we signed up to Jose the wanker, so if Jose's trying to reinvent himself, that ain't going to work. So it'd be interesting to see how he handles all this. So I've got no problems with him at the moment. You know, say what you like in a press conference, just do it on the bloody pitch.
Yeah, it's true. I think in that game, just trying to think back to it as well, because, you know, like you say, ticketed it, Modric's gone on, scores a beauty. I mean, Fergie got his tactics spot on that night as well. It was such...
Up until the sending off, I think, Fergie would have said...
It was such a genius idea to think, do you know what, Ronaldo's obviously one of the best players on the pitch. We'll just keep the ball away from him. He put Nani on the left-hand side and just went, every time we get the ball, we'll put it on the left-hand side because Ronaldo's on their left-hand side.
Yeah.
Get the ball, give it to Nani, and just do not pass it down that right hand side, do not give Ronaldo half a chance or anything, keep the ball away from him. And it worked, you know, he
did
that night, didn't he?
To get his name shouted, to get him to get the acclaim at kickoff when Alan Keegan said, you know, give it up for Ronaldo, and the whole crowd got up. I think that was a very shrewd Fergie. That was just little details he was so good at. You know, pander to Ronaldo's ego and almost affect him a little bit, that he's going, oh yeah, they do love me here, you know, and it's sort of, that was just tiny moments in Fergie's genius.
I wonder if we'll get that again in a couple of weeks.
No, we'll never see Fergie. Oh yeah, we, oh yeah, no,
it's
going to
be announcement surely when he comes back.
Ronnie will get, oh, that'll, I'm looking forward to that a great deal. I mean,
he's the best player that's ever played for us, you know. I'm going to get shouted out for that, appreciate that, but
not to old Paul, bestie mate.
Well, I can't comment, can I, really? We'll come another off video to our archives.
Alright, so who's
some people can see Dennis Law. Some people get very funny about Dennis Law.
Well, of course, they don't ever call Eric the King in front of an old timer who says it's Dennis.
I know, yeah.
Who are the three players you'd have liked to have seen play that you didn't?
So Bestie's definitely number one. It's, the thing is, this is always cliche, though, isn't it? Because you're going to say Duncan Edwards, it's like, you know, I forget, I'm going to get shouted for saying it, but is he really that good? I'm sure he was, but you know, you need to see it, don't you, in comparison to what it was at the time. It's so difficult to
say.
Yeah,
but it's judging by his peers. You know, look at the people, look at the quotes from stellar people of that era. Even, like, there's a great quote from Terry Venables, you know, just goes, he was a man in a boy's kit. And you think, these people, you know, they knew their stuff. And you read the comments, and Jimmy Murphy, you know, this wasn't, I don't think it was an idolisation after. I think they really thought it was phenomenal. I mean, to see to see that side, it was interesting because I'm going through some old programmes. You know, Bobby Charlton's record in that 58-59 season, he scored something like 29 goals. To even cope with all the shit, to do something like that. So I think Charlton, I'd have loved to have seen. Bestie, obviously. I mean, there's so many, isn't there?
Really is. I think
we're lucky
from
though.
That's
why we're so lucky, you know. You reel off these players that we've seen, or others have seen, generations before us. You know, even this era, I sometimes think we forget how lucky we are to support this club through all the shit, whatever that they throw at us. We make heroes, and that's what you'd like to. You're just the latest in a long line. Get your act together. You could be a great here. But I've seen, you know, Robbo in his prime, Keane, fantastic players. And I was looking through an old Red News when we interviewed Ollie for the 30th anniversary, and he just went, why would I ever moan when I wasn't picked? This was a fantastic club. I was just glad to be part of it. And that's not just bullshit. He truly believed that, you know?
Yeah, but he's the best player of all time for United, though, isn't he, Solskjaer?
Well, yeah, for what he did.
For me.
I mean, that's
it's two things. You know, you're not going to get that anymore, are you? You know, modern football.
Why not?
For you, but it's,
why not, though?
Yeah, I think you will do if you can start developing that back. It always helps. Winning always helps, doesn't it? Though as well, and, you know, you get players you always want to sign for clubs because of, you know, what they've done and who they are. You know, look at Liverpool. I know we said we don't want to talk about, but you know, they can still attract big names even though they've not won a league title in this amount of years. You know, it's. We're still going to be that team that's going to be able to bring these in. I think a lot of people worry we're going to fall off the face of the cliff, don't they, and that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's such a big name, it's a brand. People are always going to want to play for you. It's the same in any sports. You can move on to watch all the baseball over the summer. You know, the Yankees sign big players every single time, you know, because people want to play for the most famous team.
Here's a question for you. You're an American nerd for sports. So the Dallas Cowboys, are, you know, they're always in the top three of these sporting wank-offs about money. Do they sign big players still? I know they haven't been successful in many years. Do they still get the big names?
Not really got anyone that big. I mean, the thing is, the two best players that they've probably got now have both been drafted through the college system. So it's not been a case of them having to go out there in free agency and spend a load of money. The ones that they bought in free agency this year haven't been that great. They've signed a guy from Jacksonville who's just okay. And that's about it, really.
So they've got arthritis.
Yeah, a bit. The thing is, though, their owners, Joneses, are more interested in developing the brand. There's a great series on Amazon, isn't there? All or Nothing. I'm sure everyone's seen the City one come out, but they originally started off on the NFL stuff, and you know, they did one with the Arizona Cardinals and the one with the Cowboys. I've not seen the Cardinals one, but the Cowboys one is 8 episodes, and it just follows them over the course of the season. It's a really, really, really good watch. I recommend it, even if you don't like the sport. It's just fascinating to see how things like that are run. But they're more interested, you can tell, in developing the brand. And, you know, they went out there and built state-of-the-art training centre and everything. Just, it's just absolutely perfect. But for them, what they've done is very, very similar to what Liverpool have done with Melwood, and they've done the settings and their setup in the training academy is all about legends and what this club's all about, and, you know, putting legends all the way around and inspirational quotes from different people that have played for the team. And I think that's really, really good touch. And you see it in the Anfield Tunnel, that people are reading stuff from like Bill Shankly or whatever, and it's size foot for it. And it, to me, I've never noticed it. I don't know if it's a new thing. I'm sure someone can tell us if it's a new thing or not. I'm sure you might know, but I just think something like that is quite inspiring for a player when you walk out. If you're sitting there thinking, do you know what? I'm reading that quote by Solskjaer, like you said before. You know, if I'm a player going out there thinking, do you know what? Fucking hell, that's a really good quote.
Yeah, but can you imagine
I forget how lucky.
Can you imagine United? They'd have Manchester United have two new watches from fucking Hublot or whatever it was. Have you seen the state of them as well today? Jesus Christ. Buy them, Nick. Oh, dearie me. What? And every time you get. You know, I'm going to kick you in the bollocks now. You've mentioned the word brand about 5 or 6 times. All right, Nick, we'd better go, mate, because my boy's going to be woken up by us talking. All right, cheers, Nick. So, and now you're actually you're the sideshow to this, because what follows is a quick interview with Mark Ogden of ESPN, so enjoy. And thanks, everyone, again, for the support for the fanzine. Keep buying it, and we're happy, aren't we, Nick?
Yeah, definitely. But you can only be as good as your last result.
Because we can't lose this weekend.
I thought we'd be cheering.
All right, cheers, Nick. Hello, Mark. So we recorded a podcast last week which was so seeped in misery. I thought we can't go into the international break so full of doom. So give me a bit of optimism. And where do you think United are right now?
Yeah, I don't know where it comes to me for optimism. It's not usually my stick, to be honest. But anyway, the one of the weekends of the big Burnley, that was obviously a positive, and but an international break here was important, and it didn't drop points there. I never thought they'd lose, but you know, they had to get some sort of an answer. But I have to say that, without putting too much of a doubt on, I did think that United looked a little bit disjointed. Yes, they could have won 4 or 5 now, but the one thing that for me they lacked was this kind of just a kind of a flow between defence, midfield and attack. And I guess it's because, you know, people like me and you have seen United over the years, and you know, remember the great teams, and this is the problem now, that everyone knows the great teams, but to be a flaw, you know, they get the ball defence, you find the midfielder, and it links through. But I just thought there were 2-3 disjointed areas of the pitch on Sunday, but there's no link between the midfield and front three at the minute. There's no number 10, you know, there's no outsider on your team, you know, so they can get all those pulse goals, they can kind of link all together, and that's what I think will ultimately hold them back against the best teams.
But this is one of the things with Jose, that he doesn't seem to have a style at United. It doesn't seem an actual Jose way of playing, where all his other clubs there was an identifiable Jose way, and I find that really odd.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not one of Jose's biggest fans, I'll admit that now, but I think in fairness to Jose, so you know, the Real Madrid thing was Real Madrid, you're always going to have great players there, but at Chelsea, he was playing a similar sort of way to players at United, but he had such great players, you know. United haven't got a John Terry or Ricardo Cavalli, they haven't got a Makaleli, they haven't got a Michael Essien, they haven't got a Robin, a Gropper, or a Damien Duff, or a Frank Lampard. You know what I mean? He can play that way with those players, because they're really, really top players. Simeone and Milan had a really strong, powerful Simeone and Milan, which dominated Serie A, and didn't really have any kind of, you know, domestic rivals. So United is trying to use that same blueprint, but with inferior players that, you know, just aren't.
Yeah, but we have better players than we are at the moment. If you read some of the names up, do you think the problem started defence then? Because when you say that, you know, and then you look at our players and you think that defence doesn't match up to any of his before.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, until recently, certainly happened in the Newcastle game last season, away from home, and maybe a couple of others, the back five was De Gea and goal, Valencia, Smalling, Jones and Young, all five were bought by Ferguson. So in the 5 years since, not one of the managers has been able to buy a commanding defender to, you know, involve that back four. So yeah, I mean, And you're talking about two converted wingers playing at full-back. Now, it's slightly changed this year with Luke Shaw playing at left-back. But it's only a minor kind of improvement. And again, I think Shaw at the highest level for me is found wanting when he's defending. So, defensively, he hasn't got the same quality out of Chelsea. So, you know, it was fortunate Chelsea kind of walked into a half a team there with people like Terry and Lampard, but even still, you know, at United, he's not anything like that. And he's had what, four, five transfer windows now to sort out, and all he's done is sign two centre-halves as a rate, which is a bit weird, you know.
But this one seemed very odd. I mean, you know, Ed briefing against him, you've got the players briefing, or the players unhappy with him. There's three different units who are all against each other in aspects. I mean, I can't understand why, if Woodward gave him the new deal, then you don't back him with what he actually wants.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot, it's a multi-layered thing, isn't it? Why did they give him the new deal? Well, they're kind of worried that PSG was sniffing and they didn't want to lose him, and it was the least worst option was to give him a new contract, knowing that if he did go, then they get a decent amount of compensation. But but yes, for summer, and you really have to back the guy, and, you know, the place that he wanted. It's weird, I mean, in a sense, I've taken Alvaro, but the thing that gets me is Ed Woodward shouldn't be vetoing the manager and playing decisions now. I'm sure that Ed takes some sort of advice from somebody, but he hasn't got a director of football. Yeah. I mean, who's the football people at United that are advising Woodward?
Why is he doing it? Why is he actually, you know, I don't understand Woodward's motivation, and then to almost defend himself by saying, I'm making these decisions. What do you think he's doing?
Well, I think if you kind of look at it realistically, he's holding the money back because he doesn't trust Mourinho. I think he'll deny that all day long, and everybody knows it. But if you're not giving the manager the money that he wants to buy the place that he wants, then that says they haven't got the money, but they have got the money, or you don't trust him. So, which one is it? United can't say they haven't got the money because we know they have. And he did say, you know, United made it pretty clear that if the right defender was available, £100 million, they'd assign him. So the money was there. And I think some of Jose's silly games so far this season, such as Ander Herrera in the centre, in a back three against Tottenham, him trying to prove a point. Well, sorry, Jose, but you said at the start of the season that once the window shut, you get on with it. Well, that isn't getting on with it for me. That's just playing stupid games.
Yeah, but I don't think Jose gets on with things, does he, Stews?
Exactly, but, you know, who wins? You know, Jose doesn't win because his team starts to lose and his team doesn't win a title, which he's desperate to win. You know, United suffer. Nobody wins. And but this is the thing with Jose. He sets fires, but ends up burning himself at the same time. So, and I've not seen him once get into a situation like this and get out of it. Yeah. And that's the thing that kind of concerns me for him and United, is that in the past, there's only one way this is going to end. In this case, of when rather than if.
Do you, so you think there's an inevitability where this is all crashing and the near...
Yeah. Well, I do. And the thing, the only problem is that's keeping them together is that it's like an unhappy marriage. There's nowhere for them to go. You know, Jose doesn't have an obvious destination to go to. United don't have an obvious replacement to go to either. So, in a way, they're kind of bumbling along, knowing that at the minute, they're still with each other. You know, Jose doesn't get this right, I don't know where he goes from United, because he's managed all the big clubs everywhere else, and he's only going to go down. I think he probably realises that PSG may come available in a year or two, but, you know, PSG are a big club and they're not in a big league.
Yeah.
And United, yes, they won't, they'd love Pochettino, but good luck getting him out of Tottenham. And even if they do get him out of Tottenham, he ain't going to bring all his players with him, is he? So, you know, is he going to do the same? Find the same problem with Chris Smalling, Phil Jones, and Mourinho, Van Gaal, a fan. So, and then the whole United scenario is, where do they go? This thing about Zidane, for me, it's just all the guys available, so it must be him. Well,
yeah.
Is it, at the end of the day, he's from three European clubs, which is an amazing achievement, but what is his style? You know, we knew Guardiola, which style was at Barcelona, but Zidane is just a guy that, you know, great credit to him, he's managed to a dressing full of massive egos and gone through three European clubs. But if he came to Man United, he wouldn't be managing Sergio Ramos and Cristiano Ronaldo, he'd be managing Chris Smalling and Anthony Martial. So good luck with Anthony.
My fear with him is, I mean, all the glitters is doesn't shine. I mean, they were going to sack him in January or February. His league form was so bad, they were getting hammered by average teams, and it was only like the momentum that we're a side who can just turn it on for the European Cup. So,
well, this is it.
But there doesn't seem a strategy at United.
I don't know where they finished in the league, but I think they finished third, about 17, 18 points off the top, so that's just like Man United last season.
There doesn't seem a strategy at our club anymore, though. That's, I mean, you're mixing with these people. Do they know that they're in this sinking ship? Do you think they realise it?
No, I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I think, as Woodward said in the last season, that disastrous conference call that to the investors that United don't have to win anything to make money. That for me was that sucked up the modern Man United. And obviously, already there's, you know, over at Man City, I spent a bit of time there this month doing a feature on there 10 years ago at Derby North, and it struck me is that everything that they do, you know, off field, the politics of it, you know, it's all, you know, we've got our questions about that one. In terms of football sense, everything they do is designed to be the best, to win everything. At United, I think it's different. I think all they're designed to do is to make sure that the gravy train keeps running. With your winter trophy, it's great. If you don't, well, they're still making money. But their objective isn't to win everything. Their objective is to finish in the top four.
Yeah.
And when there's a defensive strategy there, that is what the end game is, that you finish in the top four, five, whatever. And this year, they're going to find it difficult because of the way they started. But I just, you talk about the lack of strategy, Barney. I think one thing that summed it up for me is when they sent David Moyes, 8 months too late, but when they sent David Moyes, they spoke to Klopp. Klopp didn't fancy it. He felt that, you know, it was like a football version of Disneyland.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he's right. But they went from Klopp to Van Gaal. So if you've got a strategy, how can you go from a guy that plays ultra attacking football to a guy that plays defensive, cautious football? If you had a strategy, you'd go for the same sort of manager that plays the same sort of way. You don't flip from one to the other because you've got a dressing from the players that can play a certain way. United haven't got a dressing with players that can flip from full out attacking football to, you know, prescribed defensive football. So for me, that lack of strategy, again, you know.
Well, it's an arthritis that's turned in, you know. I just think this couldn't have been planned worse, it couldn't have been orchestrated worse. I mean, do you think the players are mixed with Jose, or do you think he's got most of them on side still?
Well, I think the majority of them have had it with him, but the professional footballers have put up with it, because I think a lot of those players have learned over the years that, you manage your manager, you've had Van Gaal, you've had Moyes, and you have to get on with it, really. You can't handpick your manager, and then, you know, Mosk. It's really hard to find a dressing room for the players, wherever you go, that love the manager. I mean, even the city players, well, like Guardiola, I mean, I'm sure Leroy Sane isn't the big fan at the moment, but I just think that when you look at United, and this reflects such a joyless club and a joyless dressing room, I don't see any kind of real spirit or unity. And, you know, I hate harping back to the good old days, you know, when it was Scholes and Beckham and Neville, but there was a real sense of unity there, a real sense of togetherness. And when they scored a goal, everybody celebrated. But now, you know, they score a goal and they'll run off and they'll do their own little thing, their own stupid dance or look to the sky or whatever. But there's no kind of togetherness there.
Yeah.
And that, for me, again, is a Jose thing, because he's taking lead from the manager. The manager's a guy that only focuses on himself.
Yeah.
What the player's going to do.
But then, I mean, Van Gaal was just, you know, from speaking to fans, that it's just been a joyless aroma around the club for a good smoys, you know. There was that initial optimism, and it's just, you see so many unhappy faces going into the games now. What's that all about? I mean, so going to briefings, Mark, without being specific and revealing your mechanisms, but I mean, I can't see that you go on about a park bench and Edward has left you a little message by a pigeon or something. So in a more general, how do these work? Because they seem to be more and more prevalent in football.
I don't really have much of a line to it these days, because he was a bit annoyed a couple of years ago when I wrote a piece saying that he was a guy that would say yes, and he thought that I would say it was a yes man. So I think he'd give George whatever he wants and sort of just have to prove wrong. So
you're off the Christmas card list.
I think at the end of the day, you know, every journalist will speak to people inside the club and outside the club. I think the one thing that is definitely United is that since they've been rubbish in the last 5 years, more people have talked, because, and it all started in the David Moyes, when people aren't happy and when people are seeing faults and seeing things aren't working, then they're more likely to gripe about it. They wouldn't moan on the phone, you won't be to frightened to death, and see, because they were winning. So, you know, I think, even though Ed doesn't speak to me much anymore, I think his defence, this perception that Ed does all the briefing is not right, not true, to be honest. He just went missing this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody could get him. He obviously couldn't get him, none of us could get him. So that was a frustration that Ed wasn't briefing. So, you know, that was the downside this summer, because nobody could get a word out of him. You know, from the manager down to what, but, you know, people around the club and connected to the club will speak, because they're all kind of pulling their hair out thinking,
this is right and that isn't right. And,
yeah, but whoever, you know, I mean, is doing the, you know, how Jose signs his texts off to Ed, I mean, that's just...
Yeah, that's a bit close.
For a huge, you know, organisation to be even thinking that that's a successful, you know, message that you're sending out to Perplex fans.
And I think as well, it's all about ego, isn't it? There's too many egos at Man United that want to have the upper hand, and if they think embarrassing Jose by saying that he's going to give the upper hand, then, you know, fair play to them, but I'm not quite sure it's as advantageous as that.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of a football club, and it's not winning, people will talk and try and change things however they can, and you know, you talk about fans not wanting to go there. I mean, you know, from my point of view, I used to look at Old Trafford, you know, from a work point of view, because you knew that you'd always be entertained, there'd always be a story, there'd always be some great things. It's like on the main road in the 1990s. It's like, you know, everyone, the fans are angry, the fans are desperate for success, they're paranoid about the neighbours. It's funny how in that period of time it's flipped completely from City United, and even the stadium, you know, is looking tired and old, that my main road was. I can't believe I'm comparing Old Trafford to main road.
No, we've got this is optimism, remember that. I think, I mean, you know, in another, like, off the record, I met someone that I worked from Old Trafford, and, you know, it was just after Arnold had said, you know, at the ground, and he just said, it's all bollocks, there's no new ground coming, there's no big development coming. Any money's going straight into the Glazers, or you know, they want to pump the share price higher so they can sell more. So you'll be lucky if you get a lick of paint. And what did we get in the summer? Oh, they painted a few bits red.
Yeah.
And that's not... especially when Spurs opens, I think that will look in stark contrast or something like that.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, Old Trafford was by far and away the biggest ground, the best ground at United. Capitalise on that in a big way, you know, they were the richest club by a long way, but, you know, the gap's closed a lot now because clubs don't also rely on the terrace, on the one that you get to the terrace or to the seats, but also,
yeah.
Old Trafford is, you know, when I go Anfield, that new stand is amazing. It's just got so many facilities for the supporters, the corporates are fantastic, even, but the punters are, you know, the ordinary seats have got great facilities behind the seats, lots of space, lots of light. You got Old Trafford, it's like being, you know, this is the dark ages,
yeah.
And it does all reflect on the state of the club, that Carrington, there's poor cabins everywhere.
Yeah.
It just looks like the club is kind of, it's spent more money in the last 5 years than it ever has, but it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's kind of been wasted, you know.
Well, the actual spending on the ground's limited, you know, it's about $6 million a year on, and all sorts, and the Carrington development, that was all okayed in 2012, so they sat on that. Anyway, so on actual reporting on United, you're obviously, you've changed, you know, roles. You've gone from print to digital. You've obviously rode that wave. How do you feel now we're in a predominantly internet, 24-hour age?
Totally. I mean, it's, you know, the whole the old newspaper thing. I think that there's always going to be a role for newspapers, but they really have to embrace the digital era, and website drives everything. And, you know, I stand back sometimes and, you know, look at guys that are arguing over keeping stuff for the paper. I don't know who reads papers anymore, actually.
Mm.
Newspapers, I mean, a lot. Everyone reads papers online, but the only time I read a paper now is if I'm sort of on a plane, I can't get online. So it moves so fast, and the idea of holding some news for 12 hours because it'll appear in this print edition, it doesn't stack up for me. But yeah, I mean, I made the move to ESPN almost 2 years ago. And it's been great, you know, because I'm now doing everything digital, doing a lot more video stuff and social media. It's just the way that everything's changing, and people don't want to wait now for anything to get, so, and they want to access it straight away. I'm sure you'll find it out with that.
Yeah, but there's downsides. I mean, there's well, I've seen some of the replies to you're a nice bloke, Mark, but you get anger aimed at you, that it's as if you've mutilated their cats or something, you know, that there's a consequence, there's a downside to this obsession with having a phone in your hand all the time, that people direct.
To be fair, I don't think it's any different to back in the day when people used to write to the post, but you just had a delayed reaction. So
you used to get hate mail.
I mean, it was never that. I mean, maybe I'm a bit different. It doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, it really, really doesn't bother me. I think some of the guys don't like it, but honestly, I kind of laugh it off, and it does angry. You know, it's in football, I mean, it's in everything. It's just an angry time for everyone at the moment. I think, you know, if you're Man United, I suppose it's just exacerbated by the team. The fact that the team isn't playing very well. But no, I mean, social media, it's just the reality of the modern.
Well, there's accusations that there's an agenda against United in the media, and there are instances where we could point out that there are. What, I mean, you're sat with all these people in the press box. What do you think? I mean, is it because you know you said you're not a fan of Jose that does that seep through into the reporting? And
no, I think to be honest, I think the vast majority of the guys in the press box are, when it comes to working, the professional guys and the honest guys that. Is there an agenda against Man United? Well, the only agenda that I'd say there is against Man United is that they're the best supported club, they're the biggest club, so the agenda will always be to make sure that there's plenty of coverage for Man United. So, and I think, you know, if things are negative, you have to reflect that. I think the worst thing would be for a lot of the guys in the press box to kind of wash over it and say everything's great when we know it isn't. And, you know, there'll always be, you know, it always makes me laugh whether it's England at a World Cup or in trouble, the first thing the players say, oh, the spirit's great, this, you know, gets them really well. I mean, we know it's bullshit.
Yeah.
So, are we supposed to just cross out the party line or actually tell people how it really is, even if it's uncomfortable? I think that's the thing sometimes you misread agenda for actually telling what's going on. I mean, I think a lot of fans, sort of a new way, don't want to hear anything negative about their club. You know, as long if they can collectively, you know, as a group, slag off the club to each other. It sounds like a family thing. If anyone from the outside does it, then they're having a go. And I don't think it's like that. I think the reality is, if it's going wrong, our job is to report that it's going wrong. Because, you know, I remember the David Moyes year, I was getting quite a bit of stuff that was negative. I was getting stuff back, you know, why are you doing this? It's not true. And I remember the whole Ryan Giggs thing at the time, and I was denied left, right and centre by the club. But, you know, he'd just been faced out by Moyes. And the reality turned out that was the case, you know, that kick early to the training session, but it's only subsequently when you realise later on that people actually write what they're writing, that they're correct what they're writing, but at the time it's uncomfortable because it's not what you want to hear, but you know what it's like. I mean, it's just, you can't seriously write about Man United this season and say everything's great because it isn't.
Yeah.
Look at Alexis Sanchez, you know, does he look happy? No.
But I don't think he's happy even when he's happy. I've seen him off the pitch, he's alright, I'm miserable to get.
Yeah, look at Pogba, you know, are we supposed to really believe him and Jose are fine? What is what they both said. I mean, they both said stuff that's kind of like, really?
Yeah.
And then they come out and say it's great. I listen to pull the wool over people's eyes.
But that's it. I mean, there's a, you know, this goes deeper into where we are. Right, so to end it, right, we've got to be optimistic. So okay. Whether this plays out, how do United sort this mess out?
Well, I don't think it's realistic to think that Jose will leave anytime soon. As we said before, he hasn't got anywhere to go. You know, he hasn't got anywhere to go, so I think they're basically stuck with each other and they have to make it work now. I don't think he's got the players yet to do that, but, you know, you can't look at his CV. He's a winning manager. Whether his methods are outdated, I don't know, but I still think he's got it in to win something. They just have to put on a United front and give him the backing that he needs. I think the players as well. You know, they've got away with it quite a bit on this. I think too many of the players are doing it for themselves. Pogba, Martial, being two. I think, you know, Sanchez being another one, I think at times, like, Arthur looks like it's all about him. They've got to be connected, they've got to pull together, and they've got to show that kind of team spirit that you see at Liverpool, at City, at Tottenham. Because without that, if it's just a team of individuals, they're never going to win anything. So I think everyone's got to pull together and just, you know, focused on the fact they're playing for Man United.
Yeah.
They have closed the gap at the week, but it just takes a winning run. And, you know, they can't be going to Watford. I think, you know, Watford's a tough place to go in. It's Watford, it's Man United. You've got to go there and say, we're Man United. And we used to go a bit of arrogance that people used to hate, but...
Yeah, but I said that last season, we lost 3-1, didn't we? Oh, it's just...
Yeah, I think we won at Watford last year, but the year before was that horrendous game when Luke Shaw lasted about 25 minutes for Jose had a go in, but I just think they've got to have a bit of swagger about themselves and stop sulking. Everyone seems to be sulking, just stop sulking.
Yeah. So, sat by Christmas then. So May, where do you think we finish?
Well, I think fourth or fifth.
Right.
If I'm to be optimistic, I'll say fourth. If I'm to be realistic, I'll say fifth. I just think that the gap has already opened up. And I just don't trust United to not make any more cock-ups throughout
Yeah, okay, on that note. All right, cheers, Mark. Thanks very much, mate. Thank you.
Cheers, Mark.